Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Matt Peck. We are live on Dash Radio and DashRadio.com, the Dash Radio app, on the Nothing But Net channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern, 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time. You can follow us on Twitter at Bulls_Peck, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Also, be sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on both Facebook and Twitter. And as always, you should be subscribing to us on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, and Spotify, anywhere and everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. Well, what's going on, everybody? It's Peck holding the fort down today, Wednesday, February 14th, without Jordan Malley, who is held up today. Happy Valentine's Day to you all. Hope you're staying nice and warm here in Chicago. Ice is melting, snow is melting. Couldn't be happier about that. We are just a few days away from the NBA All-Star Weekend, and a couple of Bulls players will be participating. We're going to get to our Wednesday mailbag questions later on in today's episode, but first, a few other notes, a little bit of housekeeping, some pieces of news, good news for Bulls fans here in Chicago. So, first thing on the agenda, I mentioned we got All-Star Weekend coming up out in L.A. Chris Dunn will be participating in that Rising Stars game playing for Team USA against his Bulls teammate Lauri Markkanen, who will be playing for the World Team in that Rising Stars game on Friday night. Even better news, Chris Dunn will be making his return to the court in a Bulls jersey in their game against the Toronto Raptors tonight, their final game before that All-Star break this weekend. He has been out since that January 17th fall in that game against the Golden State Warriors at the United Center, that awkward fall after his dunk, which resulted in some dislodged teeth and a concussion, among other things. The Bulls were obviously very cautious in easing him back into participation in practices. Of course, they had to wait for him to clear the concussion protocol set by the league. And Fred Hoiberg said at this morning shoot-around that he will be active tonight. He will start for the Bulls against the Raptors, but they are being cautious, and Hoiberg said that he will probably only play about 20 minutes or so. When asked to evaluate his conditioning level at the moment after being out for nearly a month, Chris Dunn said he'd give himself a grade of about a C or a C- as far as his conditioning. So expect Hoiberg to be cautious with Dunn. You probably won't see the Bulls giving him any minutes once they roll around to the fourth quarter, regardless of whether or not the Bulls are still in this game. But still, nonetheless, I think it's a good sign that we'll finally get Chris Dunn back and active in this game. Hopefully, it will help out Lauri Markkanen, who has been trying to get out of a little bit of a lull since he came back from his paternity leave. Jaren Grant has struggled at times to find open looks and good looks for Markkanen, so hopefully they have at least a little bit amount of time on the floor together for Dunn to sort of get back into his groove, to develop a little bit of chemistry with Markkanen. Hopefully the Bulls' offensive trio with those two and LaVine for at least a good stretch of the first quarter and maybe again in the third can find some of that chemistry again, because really, before Dunn's injury, before Dunn's concussion, and after LaVine came back, there was a very small window when these three core pieces of the Bulls rebuild were on the floor together. So we'll get another glimpse of that tonight against Toronto and then head into All-Star Weekend. Another piece of interesting Bulls news. I guess it I'm counting it as Bulls news. This is something I caught wind of when I was on Twitter this morning. I saw a post from Sports Illustrated's Twitter page. Former Bulls teammates Carlos Boozer and Nate Robinson are getting a podcast. They will be co-hosting a podcast for Sports Illustrated, and it will be called Hold That with Carlos Boozer and Nate Robinson. The first episode is going to debut February 21st, so a week from today. And I don't know about y'all, Bulls Nation, but I could not be more excited for this. Obviously, Boozer, whether or not you thought he was overpaid and an over-the-hill veteran when the Bulls brought him in that free agency summer in 2010, he was sort of the consolation prize, right? After the Bulls missed out on signing any or all of the trio of Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James that summer, the Bulls had money to spend, and they spent it on Boozer to try to bolster that front court to be another star to pair along with the rising star of Derrick Rose, who, of course, would have his MVP season, Boozer's first year with the Bulls. And Boozer did help lead that Bulls team to their Eastern Conference Finals appearance, their lone Eastern Conference Finals appearance in the Derrick Rose, Joakim, Tom Thibodeau era. And even though Boozer averaged 15.5 points and 9 boards a game, shot nearly 50% from the floor over the course of 4 seasons with the Bulls, I think as he left and beyond, he'll always kind of be remembered as a guy who the Bulls just paid too much money for. The Bulls actually amnestied the remainder of his contract in the summer of 2014 to make room for Pau Gasol. And regardless of how Bulls fans thought about Boozer and his contract, he was always good for a soundbite. Certainly an interesting and entertaining guy to watch on the floor. Watching try to play defense would drive you crazy, but he was always loud. Always those Boozer screams. You had the hair episode where he came in with like spray painted hair that one time. There was always something interesting with Carlos Boozer when he was here in Chicago for 4 years. And then you get Nate Robinson. One season he played here in Chicago. And I think he's probably one of the most well-liked Bulls players in recent memory. Fans loved him. He was, of course, one of the many merry-go-round backup point guards in the years when Derrick Rose was rehabbing the ACL and then the injuries that followed that. But, I mean, who could forget that 2012-2013 season, the one season Nate played here in Chicago, when he, along with Joakim and some of the other scrappy underdog role players that Bulls team had without Rose, made it to the playoffs when really most people had counted them out. And actually won their first playoff round series against Brooklyn, including a Game 7 win on the road in Brooklyn. That Game 4 triple overtime extravaganza at the United Center that featured Nate Robinson scoring, like, I'm pretty sure close to 40 points, went nuts. Had 27 points between the fourth quarter and the first two overtimes before fouling out. I mean, one of the most epic playoff performances in Bulls history. And it was Nate Robinson. So I think he is always remembered fondly by Bulls fans. He always is very active on Instagram, shouting out to his old Bulls teammates. And so it's interesting. Two of these guys, two former Bulls teammates who haven't really been in NBA circles in a while. Boozer's last year in the league was his one season with the Lakers following his Bulls years. And then he played in China for a season. Nate Robinson bounced around to a few more teams after leaving Chicago. Most recently played just a couple of games with the Pelicans in 2015. Had a stint with the Delaware 87ers, which is the hilarious but accurate name of the Sixers G League affiliate team. And most recently won a championship playing for a team in the Venezuelan Basketball League earlier in 2017. And then nothing. So that's what Boozer and Nate Robinson have been up to in recent years, and now they got a basketball podcast, and I could not be more excited for it. They had a little bit of a teaser, like a 2.5-minute promo trailer that they put out for the Hold That podcast on Sports Illustrated's website earlier this morning, And the two of them talked a little bit about what to expect from this podcast. Obviously, they're going to talk basketball, talk about what it's like being a pro in the NBA, traveling on the road. They'll probably be, you know, swapping NBA stories, former teammates, Bulls stories, other teams they've played for. But they also made sure to mention that they'll also talk about things like what it's like to be both a professional basketball player and a father, trying to be a family man and a professional athlete, and offering some of their words of wisdom and advice to young, child-aged athletes who are trying to, or at least thinking about, making a life for themselves in the world of professional sports. So between that and all of the stories that those two have, it should be a great podcast. I'm assuming that they're going to have tremendous chemistry on the mics, which obviously is crucial for a two-person podcast. Hopefully y'all out there think that Jordan and I have developed a good amount of chemistry between us over the past year or so. But in an interview on I can't remember whose podcast, but some podcast last year, Boozer was the guest and was asked favorite teammate of all time, and he said Nate Robinson. One season, he was Nate Robinson's teammate, and he said, yeah, hands down, my favorite teammate I've ever played with. They both are obviously very loud, opinionated, and charismatic guys, and they have that relationship of guys who played on the court, shared blood, sweat, and tears together, if only for a season. So I think that that is going to lend itself to be a very entertaining podcast. Of course, we're getting more of that with professional athletes, either retired or active, having podcasts. Of course, the Cavs have one with, you know, Channing Frye, who, you know, LeBron is a guest and all of that stuff. Obviously, now Frye has moved on because of that Cavs deadline trade, but you wonder what will happen with that podcast there. Of course, J.J. Redick, very active in the world of podcasts. Current and former NFL players making a lot of appearances on various podcasts. So this is a new and interesting thing to have professional athletes saying, you know, we have our various social media platforms and sometimes we'll go on uninterrupted on Twitter or et cetera, et cetera. But in the world of podcasts, for a Bulls fan, I know you all have your options of podcasts to listen to. Probably some of you, a lot of you listen to like four or five different Bulls podcasts or NBA podcasts. And we appreciate that you listen to Locked On Bulls. But I mean, I know I'm not necessarily saying like, oh, if you're going to listen to one podcast, it should be this new one with Boozer and Nate. Like, no, listen, you should listen to Locked On Bulls. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't also listen to this Hold That podcast with Mr. C. Booze, a.k.a. the Booze Cruise, and Baby Nate Robinson, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, before we get to our mailbag segment for today, just wanted to take an opportunity to tell all of our Locked On Bulls listeners about Draft. Fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is our favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just us. More than 1 million people have downloaded Draft and are loving it. You can play in a real live NBA draft right now and be done in under 5 minutes. Here's the best part, you get paid out the very next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LOBULLS. That's right, play in a real money draft for free just by using your promo code LOBULLS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Bulls listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com now and play for free by entering your promo code LOBULLS. Jordan and I will be setting up a tourney on Draft for tonight's action. We've got a great slate of NBA games tonight. We have Bulls and Raptors, of course, Hawks, Pistons, Hornets, Magic, Heat, Sixers, Pacers, Nets, Wizards, Knicks, Clippers, Celtics, Kings, Rockets, Thunder, Grizzlies, Lakers, Pelicans, Suns, Jazz, Warriors, Blazers. That's a dozen NBA games we got on the slate tonight. And plenty of star power for fantasy purposes. Dame and Durant going head-to-head. You got Donovan Mitchell in action tonight for Utah. Anthony Davis going up against Isaiah Thomas. You got Westbrook. You got Randolph, you got Harden, Kyrie, Lou Williams, Bradley Beal, Oladipo, Simmons, Kemba, and DeMar DeRozan, just to name a few. So why not? Why not jump in and join the fun? Jordan and I are playing draft. It is so much fun. You should join today and get in on the action. You can play against me and Jordan. We'll be picking a team for tonight's action. Go to draft.com or download that draft app from your app store right now and play some awesome fantasy hoops with Draft, with me, with Jordan, with your Locked On Bulls faithful. All right, with that, let's get to our Wednesday mailbag segment. Reminder, we do this every Wednesday of every week. You can send us Bulls questions, NBA questions, anything on your mind, and you can send them to us whenever. Even if it's Saturday and you think, oh man, I just thought of this, you know, this Bulls question or this basketball question I want to ask the Locked On Bulls guys. Shoot it to us whenever, and we'll get to them as many as we can every Wednesday show. And you can send us those questions by tweeting at us at Locked On Bulls. You can email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com, or you can send us questions via our Facebook page, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. So our first question today comes to us from Tiago on Facebook. He says, what should the Bulls do with the New Orleans Pelicans pick? Should they get the best available talent? Should they draft for a specific position? Or maybe package it with a veteran and get a young prospect, or maybe even a higher draft pick? I understand this is early on, and it will depend on who is on the board at that time, but curious about what you think the Bulls should do with that Pelicans pick. Thanks for the question, Tiago. This is definitely a very interesting topic because I think Bulls fans are all very pleased and, to be honest, somewhat surprised that the Bulls were able to get a first-round pick for Nico. We all knew, because it was public knowledge, that that was the goal for Gar and Paxson as they were trying to help Nico find that trade that he was looking for. But they said, you know, unless they got what they wanted, and what they wanted was a first-round pick, that they weren't necessarily going to move him just to do so. So I think Bulls fans are all pretty stoked, especially considering that that happened a week before the deadline, and then you looked and saw what happened leading up to the deadline and all the deals that were made or weren't made. And the only other team in the league besides New Orleans that let go of a first-round pick was the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they were desperate and making moves like crazy to try to right the ship, fix their roster to get ready for another run at the finals, and hopefully, coming into this summer's view, keep LeBron James in Cleveland. That is the only other team that gave up a first-round draft pick in trades. So with that, you have to call the Bulls getting a first-rounder for Nico a win, especially considering that it is only top five protected, and unless something crazy happens and the Pelicans sneak in to the lottery and get insane amounts of luck as a lottery team, probably 14th or 15th, getting into the top three, like, that's not going to happen. The Bulls are going to get that pick this year. And it'll probably be somewhere, depending on how the Pelicans finish out, between 14, 15, maybe down to 17, but still a middle of the first round pick. Personally, I think the Bulls keep that pick and use it to draft the best available player on the board at that time. That's what I think will happen. That's what I would like to see happen. I don't think the Bulls trading up and packaging that pick with their own, say if it's, you know, where the Bulls sit right now, that would be the 8th overall pick, packaging 8 and say 16 together to trade up to try to get into the top 5. I don't think that happens because I just don't see any of those teams that are trying to rebuild, some of which are beginning rebuild, some of which you've been flailing around trying to get a franchise player for years, languishing in the NBA lottery for consecutive seasons. Teams like Phoenix, Dallas, Atlanta, Orlando, Sacramento, and Memphis, as they are exiting the, you know, the Marc Gasol years, are preparing to and looking for that franchise's next star. I don't see any of those teams trading down. Everybody's so excited about the top five prospects in this 2018 draft class, whether it's the bigs like Mo Bamba, DeAndre Ayton, and Bagley, the international phenom Luka Doncic, maybe, you know, obviously he's been in a rough stretch recently. Jordan and I talked about that yesterday, but the very intriguing point guard, Trae Young, people talking about perhaps the second coming of Steph Curry. There are a lot of interesting people in that top five. And so because of that, I don't think the Bulls, even if they wanted to, could package their two picks to trade up into the top five. I also think the Bulls front office was so pleased to get that first rounder for Nico, and that they are so geared towards adding as much young talent to this core as possible, that they wouldn't necessarily want to do that. Even if they don't finish up getting into that top five, say they don't get lucky with the lottery, and they do end up winning a few more games than the rest of those tanking teams to finish out the season, and we'll get to that in another question coming up. And the Bulls do end up with, like I said, picks 8 and 16. I think the Bulls front office would much rather have two of those first round picks at 8 and 16 than they would one pick somewhere 1 through 5. As much as those guys in the top 5 are all being valued right now, you never know. You never really know which of those will translate. Heck, if you redid the 2017 draft right now, Markkanen would probably be in the top 3. Look at what Lonzo Ball has or hasn't done with the Lakers. Look at what Markelle Fultz hasn't done for the 76ers. I mean, I think everybody's impressed with Jason Tatum and what he's done in Boston. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell has had a great rookie year with Utah. Those guys, Dennis Smith Jr. for Dallas, I think those guys probably are in your top five if you redid the 2017 draft today. So who knows? Maybe the Bulls, who did a very good job taking Markkanen 7th overall, find a guy at 8 that they really like that turns out to be a great addition to this young core. So those are my thoughts on that question as far as what the Bulls are going to be doing with this Pelicans pick in a few months. Thanks for the question, Tiago. Our next question comes to us from Bryn Cooper, a loyal listener from overseas in the UK. What's going on, Bryn? Thanks for the question. His question goes as follows. With a tank seemingly back on track, these two home wins have me worried again. I have the Bulls finishing with 28 wins looking at the schedule. Where do you see that setting them in the, quote, tank league? Thanks for keeping my drive to work bearable, Bryn. Well, Bryn, thank you for the kind words and thanks for the question. So, Bryn thinks the Bulls are going to finish the season with 28 wins. We're at 20 right now. And because we're at 20, our friend Austin ate himself some paper the other day. That was pretty hilarious. So, we've got the back half of February, March, and the first week and change of April. 20-some games left. 20 wins right now. Bryn thinks the Bulls are going to be finishing with 8 more wins before all is said and done. I think that's probably a pretty decent estimate. You look at the Bulls' schedule after the All-Star break, and there are some very winnable games. Not just some, there are a good amount of winnable games. Brooklyn, Charlotte, Dallas, Memphis, Atlanta, Memphis again, the Knicks, who are falling apart, Milwaukee, a team the Bulls have actually played very well against this season, Orlando again, Charlotte again, Brooklyn again, and finishing the season home against the Pistons. So, and those are just some that I rattled off that are more favorable matchups against some of the lesser teams in the league. You can easily see 8 wins in there. Heck, I might even say that in their remaining schedule, the Bulls have as many as 12 games that are certainly very winnable games. Then you're talking about a 32-win season. As far as where that might stack up, you look at the Bulls' strength of schedule. As I said, it's pretty kind. I went and looked at the Bulls' strength of schedule compared to some of the other tanking teams, their remaining strength of schedule, I should say. In the 30 teams in the NBA, the Bulls have the 10th easiest remaining strength of schedule with a negative strength of schedule with their opponents as a negative rating of negative 0.45. Of the teams that are currently duking it out in the tankathon right now, the Memphis Grizzlies, who sit currently at 18-37, 1.5 games ahead of the Bulls in the tankathon, the Memphis Grizzlies are the only team with an easier remaining strength of schedule than the Bulls. And just a shade at negative 0.49. All of the other teams that are tanking have more difficult schedules than the Bulls to finish out the season, including Atlanta and Phoenix having the second and first most difficult remaining schedules at 1.17 and 1.4, respectively. Sacramento, more difficult schedule. The ninth toughest schedule remaining, actually. Let's see. Dallas, Brooklyn, Orlando, New York, all more difficult schedule remaining than the Chicago Bulls. So if you're gunning for the tank and hoping the Bulls can get back into that neighborhood of giving themselves a higher percentage chance to land either the top number one overall pick or a little more likely, at least the top three pick, you don't like that. That's bad news. The Bulls have an easy schedule to finish out the season, and all these teams that they're competing against in the tankathon standings have tough ones, tougher than the Bulls. So it's going to come down to whether or not the front office really does a little bit of loud whispering in Hoiberg's ear as far as his rotation in the back end of February and into March and April, and who's getting minutes. Hoiberg said at this morning's shoot-around once again that after the All-Star break, campaign is scheduled and planning on getting into this rotation. Cristiano Felicio, going to get more minutes. Noah Vonleh, who came over in one of those two small trade deadline deals the Bulls made, going to get a look, see if the Bulls might be interested in keeping the young 22-year-old around. So, obviously, Paxson doesn't want to use the word tank. He's never going to use the word tank. He's never going to admit that that was what the Bulls were trying to do this season, even though he said after trading Butler that the plan was to get a high pick in 2018 and that the season would not be measured by wins and losses. Fred Hoiberg's job performance would not be measured by wins and losses, but player development, player growth, and evaluating the young talent on this team. Well, so now they have collectively a couple of months to do that. The question is, how drastically are they going to bend into that being the plan as opposed to trying to let Hoiberg scrape out some more wins with this young core? Because as I said earlier, we only saw a couple of games between LaVine coming back and Dunn getting hurt. So how much does the Bulls front office and Fred and his coaching staff want to give real long looks at Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen playing together, especially in winnable games against winnable opponents, beatable opponents, I should say? And how much of the young player development and evaluation is going to be geared towards the guys that they haven't seen yet, who are less important, seemingly less important to this rebuild? Because, again, they haven't seen much of Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen together. And that's the important guys that they need to be evaluating. But they haven't seen anything from campaign since last season. Felicio has had a bust of a season after signing his 4-year contract extension, came in out of shape, has really not gotten that many opportunities to play this season. Noah Vonleh hasn't played yet since being brought over in the trade with Portland. So, who's going to get those minutes? Are they going to knock off minutes for Justin Holiday and Robin Lopez and Jaren Grant? It's going to come down to the Bulls losing winnable games, like the one against Orlando earlier this week that was one of the ugliest basketball games I've ever watched. And I know Fred Hoiberg, and this is something that Jordan and I talked about yesterday, Fred Hoiberg will never admit it. And Paxson has said the same thing. As a guy who was a former player, he and Hoiberg both, you never go into a game trying to lose as a coach or a player. And I get that. And I respect that. But if the Bulls are not content to win more games than expected to finish out this season, and say they hit the 30-win threshold. If they hit that 30-win mark, they're not getting the top five pick. No way. These other teams that are ahead of them in the tankathon standings right now, these are bad teams. That Orlando team, they did everything possible but win that game against the Bulls earlier this week. Phoenix, Dallas, Atlanta, the Kings, Memphis has fallen apart. These are bad teams. The Bulls are kind of at the bottom edge of the tankathon teams right now. So unless the Bulls collectively, between Fred and his bosses, make drastic changes to rotation in the name of, quote-unquote, player development and player evaluation with some of these guys we haven't seen much or all of yet this season, the Bulls are probably going to win more games in their remaining schedule than all the teams that they're chasing in the tankathon standings, which would mean the Bulls finishing somewhere with the 8th worst, maybe even 10th or 11th worst record. 11th worst. It's possible. It's absolutely possible. It's all about who's getting these minutes in February and March and April. And I hope that the Bulls use that excuse, or don't, if you don't want to call it an excuse, fine, call it a reason. Player development and player evaluation. Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen. We don't want to run these guys too ragged. LaVine's still coming off an ACL. Dunn had a nasty injury. Markkanen's had some back spasm and back sore issues this season, his rookie season. Played a lot of minutes already as a rookie. Don't want to wear these guys out? Guess what? None of you guys are playing in the fourth quarter. And don't talk to me about the importance of pulling out and closing close games and the fact that that's important for the development, both on the court and the mental development, the mental strength development of young NBA players. Fine. Yeah, that's a cool point. It's not an issue. Not an issue in the back end of February and March and April. The Bulls have already scraped together enough of those wins where this young core, or at least pieces of it, prove that they have what it takes to close out a game and win a game. Check. Put a check in that box. We know they can do it. Sometimes they even do it against great opponents like Minnesota. How great was that? Awesome. Bad for the tank, but great to see. You can't say that about the win against Orlando. Bad for the tank, ugly to see. Didn't want it, didn't like it. So that's why my hope, anyway, is that the Bulls' bosses in the remaining months of this season will use that player evaluation to say, here's what we're doing. Here's the guys who are getting minutes. Dunn, Markkanen, LaVine, we're excited about you guys. We're excited about next season already. But we need to take some time to see if we want to keep any of these guys around, see what we have to work with, and maybe because of those guys getting those amount of minutes, instead of 8th or 9th or 10th or 11th, the Bulls find themselves somewhere around 4, 5, or 6. And maybe they get one of those top-tier prospects that could certainly help this rebuild. Thanks for the question, Bryn. Always appreciate it. And one last quick one here from another loyal listener. This is from Jimmy on Twitter, who says, not really a question, but a hot take that you, Mr. Peck, will destroy me for. Jordan has already suggested it as a possibility. Cam Payne will come back and be a very good player for the Bulls and ruin the tank. Speaking of the tank, thanks, Jimmy. I don't know what else to say other than no. Look, the Bulls picked up the option for his contract next season. Pretty sure $3.2 million. A lot of Bulls fans said, hey, like, you know, cut bait and run with Cam Payne. That trade was terrible. It was embarrassing. He can't play. Just cut the kid. This is something that Casey Johnson addressed in his most recent mailbag that I think came out earlier today. The Bulls picked up that option. Unless they can find a trade partner, package campaign in a trade sometime this offseason, he's going to be here next season. So they do have to give him some minutes to see what they have with campaign. Going to come back and be a, quote, very good player, says Jimmy. No, not happening. Ruin the tank? No. If campaign comes back and gets significant minutes, it will help the tank. And I mean, I'd have a tough time finding anybody other than my co-host Jordan who said maybe a possibility, and Jimmy here on Twitter who thinks that's possible. No way, no how. Not my chair, not my problem. Thanks, Jimmy, for the comment. Always appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who is always sending us questions and comments on all forms of social media and email. Reminder, if you have any Bulls thoughts or questions, you can always hit Jordan and I up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, and we will address as many of those as we can every Wednesday episode of every week. Comment to us at Locked On Bulls on Twitter. You can email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com, or you can hit us up with some questions or comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Once again, a reminder that Locked On Bulls is live on DashRadio.com and the Dash Radio app on their Nothing But Net channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's the Nothing But Net channel where you get nothing but basketball talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You can follow our personal Twitter handles at Bulls_Peck and at Jordan C. Malley. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify. Anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts, you will find us. For Jordan Malley, I'm Matt Peck, saying thanks for listening to this episode of Locked On Bulls. Hopefully we'll get Jordan back on tomorrow's episode. But again, a happy Valentine's Day to you, Chicago. Enjoy that Bulls-Raptors game tonight, and we will see you tomorrow.
Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.